What's the point?
What's the point of what I'm doing? To help people investigate.
What's the point of, like, heaven and hell? What's the point of life?
What's
the point of heaven and hell? What's the point of Christianity? Like, why is nihilism, in a sense, untrue?
Okay, good question. Why is a nihilism untrue? Nihilism is the end. When you die, it's over, right? So you're going to hear this from me. I'll tell you this from time. There'll be a lot of why God questions. And I just want to say, I'm going to answer a lot of times. I'll say, let me tell you some assumptions that I might make, but I can't go to the Bible. I don't feel like I'm doing you a great service if I'm answering questions based on, oh, this is what I would dream up. This is what I think. I'm here trying to relate what the Bible has to say as our record of what we know from God. If it is from God, that's what you have to find out. But why life? I know this much, that God does all things to glorify himself. And in glorifying himself, that is to give him his pleasure. Now, I realize that can lead people to say, well, that's an awfully selfish God. Well, his record is very much just the opposite, I think, you'll find. But he has that right. But I'll put up a little, get my pen here, wrong way. I was asking very much the same question when I was in college. And I couldn't figure this thing out. It was so bugging me, some stuff. And I went to a PhD scholar who was probably at that time 50-something years of age. And I challenged him in the very same way. I said, I don't get this. What's this and why? And it just didn't make sense to me why God would do what God does. And this helped me a lot. It may not help you, but it sure helped me. We were at that time, that's a long time ago, we didn't have these kind of boards, so we just had chalkboards at that point. And there was a chalkboard, and he went to the chalkboard, and he said, well, let me put it this way. He said, Randy, let's let this board represent the knowledge of God. Now, I was a theist. He says, if God is God, would you say that his knowledge is finite or infinite? Well, my answer was, if he's God, it's infinite. So he said, okay, it's big for sure, right? So let's let this be his knowledge, and this board is finite. So I've truly understated the case on the knowledge of God, letting this represent his knowledge. I said, okay. He said, now, I'm going to draw a circle here, and he draws this circle. And he says, this circle represents the knowledge of all mankind throughout all history. If you collectively put every person's knowledge together in one bucket, there's the bucket. Now, it says, now, wouldn't you assume that if this, now, wouldn't you assume that the knowledge of man is finite? And I said, well, of course, it's finite, yeah. And it says, okay, so this is finite. And this is infinite, and this is maybe a hundredth of this board. So I've understated this case dramatically. And I said, okay, got it. And he says, now, I'm going to draw a circle here. And he draws a little circle in it about that size, maybe a fifth of the circle, a fourth of the circle. He says, let's let that circle represent the knowledge of the most brilliant human who has ever lived with more knowledge than any other person in the history of mankind, presumably somebody alive today with the expansion of knowledge and so forth. And I said, yeah. And he says, now, would you agree I've understated this case quite a bit in that that circle there is way too big. No one has a fourth or a fifth of all the knowledge of the world, of every person, every time. I said, well, correct. He said, okay, so I understated that one. Then he takes a little dot in the middle, and he says, now, that little dot represents your knowledge compared to the most brilliant, knowledgeable person in the world. Okay? And then he assured me that was his grandest understatement. And then he said, now, he takes an eraser with that chalk, and he does this. He just erases all around that, everything but that dot. And the dot just disappeared. So the dot was left. And in a little piece of chalk, you could barely see it. You get very far back, it was definitely gone. And he said, so Randy, what we're saying is this board goes forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that dot is way too big. He says, do you think it's possible that somewhere in this vast domain that there are things that are true, that are good, that are correct, that God says is so, that will never fit on that little dot, that we'll never comprehend fully? And it grabbed me big time. And I said, yes, I think that's true. He said, I'm going to give you a suggestion, and that would be this. If you find the Bible to be what you believe accurate and reliable, I'm going to encourage you that when you find things that just don't make sense to you, and you say, I wouldn't do it that way, I think it'd be better if, I would encourage you, you bank on what you find there instead of what you believe here, because you're going to be far more benefited by doing that. You're going to find out in time. You know, I took that at heart, and I found this out. I can't tell you the numbers of times that I have believed things that are not in the Bible. It's just not accurate. And I've said, you know, if it doesn't fit on that dot, I just don't believe it's true. But I've come back to say, oh, no, no, trust that maybe he's bigger than me and knows more. This is my story, and I'm telling it with integrity. I'm not just making this up. I cannot tell you one example in my life at 67, nearly 68 years of age. Since that time, I have not found one time that I said, I'm glad I went against God, and I've gone against him. I've never said, I'm so glad I did that. That was such a better plan than what God says. I was a math major. I mentioned that. I had a math class that was a graduate class in math. And we had to prove certain things that just didn't seem right to me. We had to prove that two parallel lines running to infinity would remain parallel through infinity, yet while remaining parallel, would intersect. Does that make sense to any of you? It didn't to me. That was on the test. So we had to prove it. Well, you know what I did? I said, it can't be because I'm reasonably smart and there's not a way in the world that can be true. What do you think I got as a grade? F. I didn't do that. I decided that probably in the world of math, there are some things that my mind has not comprehended. And that better minds might be able to, but I can't. It makes no sense. I'm going to say it's not true. But you know what I do is I had memorized the answer. And I put the answer on there. I didn't even believe the answer. But I got benefited by putting the right answer down. I think there's a little bit of that to life. I really do. That if this is true, and maybe it's not, maybe God's word is not correct, then this is all I've just kind of, I don't know, you got to discount everything I'm saying here. But if that is true, then wow, it makes sense. But I can say this, that I can build a scenario why God does not allow nihilism. But it's not from the Bible. But it can make sense to me. I've actually come to the place, but I don't share it because I go, but he just says that's not what happens. We live eternally, we're eternal beings. And I'm glad in this sense that we are, because that means if everybody was annihilated, we wouldn't know eternity as God's people, living with him without brokenness, without sin, without pain, without heartache. That I'm glad for. But that's a great question you ask. Great question. Thank you.